Well, welcome to the Timmy G Time Machine, thanks to Tyre Power. Got me old mate here, number 26, Richard Foster. Now, Fozzie Bear, you played 145 games. You probably didn't know that. You kicked 32 goals, which we're going to, you know, find out how you did that. but you played in 88, 1990, 92, 95 flags. I mean, that's a lovely record here at Port Adelaide. Mm. Welcome to you. Are you excited?
I'm very excited. As you know, do I look excited, mate? That excited as I got when I kicked the goal.
As the great Richard Foster, Rizzo would say, he'd say he's that relaxed, he's almost comatose. But you were pretty relaxed.
Yeah.
Now, I'm getting onto it now because later on we're going to mention a bit about it. But you're a landscaper, you've got a landscaping business. Give it a plug right now.
Yeah, Foster Paving Landscaping. I've been in the business for about 20-odd years and I've got my sons working for me at the moment, and we do all type of paving and landscaping around Adelaide, anywhere we go anywhere, so yeah.
This is not an infomercial, mate. I didn't go that far, I just mentioned the name, mate. That's ridiculous. Now, you've done all of my landscaping, and I live at the Wingfield Dump. And, but the great,
it's got a path to nowhere.
This is the goal. My house has got it's got a front gate, but once upon a time it had a fence where there's the driveway, and it had this little gate that opened there. Now, in those days, they did these little concrete paths to the little gate.
Did it have a gate there?
Well, it did once upon a time. Now it doesn't, and since I've known you, it doesn't. And you and Rizza come over every single time and say, where's that path going to? The path to nowhere. But you've done nothing about it as my landscaper. Oh, nothing.
I can if you want.
Well, geez, you've done everything
else. I'll put a gate in there for you.
You've made it look good.
You can't get rid of the path to nowhere.
You do a great job, and I do love it. But I've got to go right back. You are a country boy.
Yes.
Now, your nickname when you first got here, because it ended up being Fozzie Bear because of Rizza.
Yep.
But it was Bendy.
Bendy, yes.
As in short for Bendigo.
JG gave me that name.
JG gave you that name, yeah, right. Yeah. The great Johnny Granger. Who also works at Foster Landscaping.
Yes. Well, he did for a while. He's gone back to Victoria now, but yeah.
Oh, going back now. Yeah. Bloody hell. Going to miss Johnny. But you're a country boy by heart, and is that where you grew up?
Bendigo. Grew up there. Yes, exactly.
Bendy,
I was originally from South Gippsland, mum and dad from down that way, and then when I was about 5 or 6, we moved up to Bendigo, Central Victoria.
Right.
And then after a few years in the city of Bendigo, it's quite a big city, Bendigo.
Big
we
team.
Moved out to a little place called Ravenswood, just on the way to Melbourne, about 20 minutes out of Bendigo, and mum and dad had a pub there.
Oh, right.
So, brought up in the pub, there's probably nothing else there except the pub, maybe a couple of houses.
Wow.
Yeah, so yeah, enjoyed my time there, mate. So.
What sort of age were you then?
I was about 14, I think, when we moved out to the pub.
So, because you ended up playing at the Carlton Footy Club, but was that the zone for them?
Just Carlton zone, Bendigo area, yeah.
Right, okay.
So a lot of good players come there, like Ashman, Peter Dean,
good,
those sort of fellas.
Great
there. Yeah, a lot of good players from Carlton.
Right, so
Bendigo area.
So did you get a call-up? Were you playing local footy, playing well?
How it went was they obviously kept an eye on you, and you know, you got the letter sent to you from Carlton saying, oh, we're looking at you, and then you want to play? You want to play? Silly question, cool. invited to join this squad, and you end up getting in a lot was called a scholarship squad, under 17s type things. So I played in that, and then they asked me to come down and play 19s, but I did go there for a few weeks, but wasn't too keen on it down there. The blokes were a little bit dodgy, the under 19 fellas, I thought. So I went back to Kangaroo Flat, which is the team I played for.
Is that hard for country lads sometimes to come into this city environment and it doesn't feel right?
Didn't feel right to me. I didn't really enjoy it. I mean, it was a pretty big city and all that, but I actually was living with a mate, and about 3 weeks I stuff this and went home.
Yeah.
So,
Now you went back to the family, of course, mum, dad, got a sister, older sister Wendy, is that right?
I've got two older sisters and a younger sister, yeah.
And so there's five of you?
Six.
Six?
I've got two brothers.
Jeez. Jacko.
Jacko.
Yeah.
And another brother as well, so. Like the Brady Bunch team.
Yeah, just about. Well, you can fill out the
squares. We're not as close as them, though. Rodney, he was never into sport. He's lived overseas most of his life. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Wendy, your sister is, you can tell the audience here, who's your brother-in-law?
The brother-in-law is the infamous, fabulous Phil Carman.
He'd love that. Good
imagine. Yeah, so Phil came actually to coach Kangaroo Flat. He met my sister through that. So
gotcha.
And it was big news, Phil Carman coming to coach a footy team.
And
right about that time, I end up going back to Melbourne, playing a few reserves games. And then when he started coaching, and then the next year I went down there full time in 1986.
To Carlton,
yeah.
Right,
yeah,
yeah. Beautiful. So you were about 20, 21?
Yeah, about 20, years of age. 19, 20, yeah.
And so you settled in a bit better this time?
Yeah, the first year in 85, when I went down and played two or three reserves games, David Parkin was coach of the senior side.
Yeah.
And I really liked David.
Yeah.
Even though he couldn't understand a word he was saying at training, the jugular would just go.
Oh, yeah, he was pretty intense.
Yeah, and he got that, and I just followed everyone else and know what was going on. But then, after the end of that season, he got the sack and Woolsey came on board.
Ah, yes.
So, and
87?
86.
Six, right.
86. So, Woolsey was become senior coach. Wasn't a big fan of Woolsey.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Not many blokes were, I don't think. So,
yeah, right. Yeah.
So anyway, I mean, I had a couple of years there, but once again, I sort of wasn't enjoying Melbourne at all. So decided to go back to Bendigo.
Right.
Yeah.
So, because the connection when you turned up to Alberton was that you're at Carlton and Craig Bradley made a recommendation.
Yeah. Well,
what's the background of that story?
Well, I was in Bendigo and I was going to play Kangaroo Flat. So, and then Stephen Goff, who was the I think he was general manager or football operations manager, whatever he was, he rang me up and said, well, what are you doing? I said, oh, I don't want to come back to Melbourne. Might stay up here for a year.
Yeah.
He goes, well, why don't you try interstate? I said, oh, yeah, sounds all right. Yeah, I'll try that.
They did say you were relaxed. Why don't you try interstate? Why is he saying that? Because somebody was chasing you or not?
Oh, I know. Probably just, I think they wanted me to play there, like
go
back
at a good level,
so the idea was spend a year over interstate somewhere, play with another club, and then get a bit of experience, maybe senior experience, whatever, and then go back.
Okay, so how does Port become an option?
Well, he rang a few clubs, South Australia and West Australia, so I got a few calls from different clubs, and then I don't think, because Ian McKenzie was the
GM
at the time, I don't know if, I can't remember if Macca rang me or not, but he must have rang Craig Bradley and asked about me. The Macca, I got home from work one night and then Macca was at the pub. So
really?
So I signed up in about 20 minutes.
That was it?
That's it.
Yeah.
The old man said, yep, sign it.
That was it. Mal said, sign the dotted line, get going.
Exactly.
So you rock up to this place. Had you heard of Port Adelaide?
Of Port Adelaide. Yeah. I knew they were the black and white and strong, because I asked Phil. Phil said, look, there's only two clubs, Norwood or Port Adelaide.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you said, well done, you're going to a good one.
Yeah, definitely. And I always used to look at this, when I was a kid, used to have this book and had a Port Adelaide player attacking this screamer. I can't remember who it was now. We always used to look at it and go, oh, that's unreal, because big crowd and that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then never thought I'd be playing for the club one day.
In front of a big crowd.
Well, that's right, yeah.
That's the beauty of it. So you rock up here.
Mm.
So the marvellous Alberton Oval, you're in the locker room that we spent a lot of time in together.
Yep.
What are your first impressions? And because you are quite a country boy at this stage.
Mm.
You've opened up a little bit more since. But what are your first impressions?
Well, my first impressions were at the Newmarket Hotel.
I reckon Russell Johnson had it at the time, didn't he? Yes.
Russell had it.
So elaborate.
I think we had training at at Portside there. I think we trained there, I think. And we're going to the pub for a beer after the training. Yep, no worries, I was into that. So
who invited you?
I can't remember now, but
Alan Kenny
was involved.
Alan might have been involved, yes.
And then this darts game started up.
And you love your darts.
I love my darts, yeah. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't at the board, it was at everyone else throwing darts.
That sounds like Alan was involved.
So, oh wow, that was a bit of fun and a few that night.
Yeah. From that moment onwards, did you think, oh, this is a good place? These blokes are good blokes.
Yeah. So when I was at Carlton, a lot of the legends were still there. Dooley and McClure and those sort of blokes, especially in the first year.
Yeah.
And then I didn't really have a lot of younger blokes.
Right.
My age there, so it was a bit, found it a bit hard to sort of fit in a little bit.
Of course, you've got here, we're stacked with them.
Well, that's right, yeah, I've got
here. They're all the same age.
All the same age, that's what I loved, yeah. Yeah. You got you and Rowan and Marnie and Scotty.
Scotty. My God.
So I fit it right in, it was just loved it. Straight to start. And then the club was very professional as well, so it wasn't just a boozy, piss up club or anything, it was.
No.
Great football club.
We played hard. And
played hard, yeah. And on and off the field.
On and off the field, exactly. As they say. Yeah. Now, your first year is a pretty good year, because she's a drought-breaking year. The thing about that was that the club hadn't won one for 7 years.
Mm.
And they released a single in April of that particular year called The Magpies Expect to Win.
Expect to Win, yeah. Great song.
I mean, it's a great song. It's a great song. But what about the confidence of the footy club saying, we'll win the flag, you better believe it. Could you believe this sort of mentality that you're walking into?
Well, not really. I mean, yeah, I could, because it was similar to Carlton. Carlton had a really strong belief that they could win every game.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to... nothing else except the premiership would do.
Yep.
Right. So
that good attitude.
Good attitude. Yeah, great attitude. And they've fallen away now in that area, but I love that.
Mm.
As soon as you put the Carlton jump on, you go out and expect the win, and it's exactly the same here.
Yeah.
So very similar clubs in that way, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like was said earlier, you did think you were going to win every game.
Yeah.
You
know?
As soon as you got the jumper on, you knew you expected to win. So,
yeah.
And so that song made sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So you meet a few of these characters and the rest, but one of the other recruits that came in that year, you end up being quite good mates with, Roger Kerr.
Roger Kerr, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And of course, Daniel Kerr being one of the great West Coast Eagles players, he's only a little fella when, you know...
That's right.
Roger playing with us and beautiful Roxanne and
Daniel and Levi, they were five or 6 years old, I think, and great little kids.
Yeah.
And I remember going around. I used to babysit Daniel and Levi a bit.
Yeah.
Roger and Roxanne went out together, and I used to sit there on a Sunday night, and Daniel would be getting the tape off my legs and all sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, he had to have a job, you know, do something. But you taught him how to do the left and the right, no doubt.
Exactly, mate. Yeah.
Beautiful skills.
Less very important, mate.
Very important. You've got to be a two-sided player, Richard. I love it. But it was a good relationship that's been, upheld to today. And
that's
the beauty of footy clubs and winning the flag.
That's right, Me and Roger, I've been over there a number of times, and he's come over here, and we see each other a fair bit. But he's just, he fitted in here as well. Like, he was probably a little bit older than us, wasn't he? Like, he's probably five, six older when he came here. Great little player and great fun off the field.
Now, talking about off the field, we win the 1988 flag.
Mm.
Did you have any concept of what you were walking back into that night?
I mean, no.
It was incredible.
It was incredible,
Did it take your breath away?
I remember we got here. I mean, I think we had a dinner, didn't we? A footy park or something. And we come back here in the bus and got out in the oval and we got on that truck.
It was a flatbed truck. Yeah.
And the sea of people, I just couldn't believe it.
Oh, sorry.
Felt like rock stars.
Yeah.
It was unreal.
And just the partying that went on after that, the routine that Greg Phillips had, you know, absolutely inducted into us from that moment onwards. It was
time. This will go on for weeks. And it did, actually. It went on for months, actually.
Which was great fun.
Yeah, we had the Craven trip and then else?
We went on the footy trip and we got back and we had the premiership dinner.
Yeah,
dinners. And that was basically then, that was it. November, start training again.
Yeah.
You're into it.
But I remember George Fiacci saying to me, didn't want to go home with his missus, just want to be with all the boys all the time.
Yeah.
It's just because you just miss them.
Yeah. And that's that camaraderie that you develop with one another, isn't it? And so you've obviously enjoyed yourself.
Yep.
You've had a great time.
What are you looking at?
That particular evening. But you've enjoyed that flag. It was. Do you remember much about the actual grand final itself?
I do. I do remember a bit about it. It was really good weather. I remember that. It was just, you know,
perfect cloudy. Yeah, perfect cloudy.
Overcast.
No wind or anything. I have seen it a number of times. I've watched it because it was a great game of footy. I remember Rowan's goal, probably one of the best goals we've ever seen.
Beautiful left foot.
Yeah.
Just casually walked away from it. Yeah.
A handball by Andrew Obbs. It was the quickest handball I've ever seen. Just banging like that to Brownie. And there was another bit of play I remember.
When it spills out and comes to you and you kick a goal on your left.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I was on Scotty Salisbury. I think he dived. He didn't keep his feet, Tim.
Keep your feet.
He didn't keep his feet. So I kept my feet and just it fell in my arms and quick snap.
Now, the great John Carr, he'd say, there's only two reasons you don't keep your feet when he's going off his head after a go. There's only two reasons.
He's looking at me, Rizzo.
Yep. You're either scared or you're unfit.
That's right.
Which one is it?
Yeah, he didn't like people falling down, do they?
Yeah, which one is it, Richard?
Probably scared to.
Rowan said, I think I'm a bit unfit. I used to love it, mate. Yeah. Great fun. Yeah. Now, it did enjoy yourself a lot. And the following year, a guy comes to town. A bit like you, come from a Melbourne club, walks in the door. Was there this meshing of two people come together that was like Bib and Bub? Abbott Costello. It was every great partnership you'll ever see. Rizzonico.
Yeah.
Rizza and Fozzie as a combination is like Delaney and Fiacci. And
Fight the Circus come to town,
wasn't it? But it was amazing where Jack would get up on that whiteboard or that blackboard and, you know, he'd be barreling us after a loss, not happy. And remember, he'd lick his fingers and he'd wipe your name off the board and just give you a barrel. And then he was looking at you, and, you know, Foster kicks the Rizzonico kicks the Foster. You two stop waxing, bro. You remember that?
I remember that. It wasn't until I retired, and then you sort of sit back and look at a couple of games, and you go, we did bloody wax. I didn't think we did, but we did.
Yeah,
yeah. Rizzo keeps kicking me, and I kick them.
Because it becomes subconscious.
Yeah, yeah.
And Fiacci doesn't have a career without Delaney.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
True?
It's very true. I mean, Rizzo picking up his man all the freaking time.
Oh, for God's sakes. But that amazing relationship, and look, Rizzo had an incredible impact in this room because of his the character he is. But you two just were a great comedy duo.
He was more the comedy one.
I tell you now.
I was probably the sight gag.
When he came in the time machine, I asked about this great story, and he reckons that you instigated it. Now, I need the truth or not. It was pre-season. We'd come off the back of a football trip at the end of the 92 Premiership, where there was an infamous little club made up, which made David Armfield very angry, called the Fat Boy Club.
Yeah, it was 92, was that?
It was the end of 92, Bali, correct.
Yeah, Bali, yeah.
And he has absolutely ripped into us in the training session, hot as 40-odd degrees. Mm. He's ripped in everybody about this Fat Boy Club. And then I've come out and I've seen you and Rizzo in the car with the windows wound fully up, sitting there with the car running, and I thought, what are those idiots doing? And I knock on the window, and you guys have got the heater on, full blast.
And it was about 40 degrees.
100 mile an hour.
I said, Rizzo, this is a great idea, mate. You know, we sweat it out. Let's just sweat it out a little bit more, make a sauna in the car. We go home, put the heater on.
So what was your idea?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I can't believe that. I thought he dragged you down.
No, I didn't.
It was the other way around.
He's not that smart,
mate. I love it now.
Little Arnie know that was a dozen donuts in the back as well.
Oh, I love it. Now, Richard, I know that you, because you're into landscaping, Larissa, you've got vehicles, haven't you?
I've got a lot of vehicles, Tim, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Would you...
Which need...
They need to be safe, don't they, on the roads?
Mm.
Because you can't get the jobs, you can't do your jobs properly unless you've got great tyres.
That's right, yeah.
Well, let me tell you, it's time like these, you need friends, my friend. And Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer is... Tyre Power. Good boy. It was almost in sync. Well done, mate. And I'll tell you, they're here, they're committed... They are great people, and I'll tell you, new tyres, wheel alignment, and a free 5 minutes tyre safety check from Tyre Power, because they're great people, they're here to help.
Very important, Tim.
Great deals all the time. Got to be
safe
on the
water.
There's one in the port, Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that, but they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Tyre Power all over the country. Absolutely everywhere. So give them a big rap. Stay safe. Your local Tyre Power dealer champions, they are.
Well done,
thank you. Thank you, Daniel. Thanks. We've always got to have help. Now, there's good times and bad times in a footy club, isn't there? Sometimes you're going well, sometimes you're not going well.
Exactly, Tim.
Yeah. And things don't go right. So one of the things that we had was like, it wasn't a, you know, in the AFL today, you have an AFL list. Everybody's on it, no dramas. In our day, there was a league list and a reserves list.
Yes. Which was foreign to me, like we didn't have that in Victoria back
then.
You didn't? No.
Right. So, but this football club had one. And if you're on it, you're going well.
Exactly.
If you're not on it,
it's parties on.
Oh, I tell you.
If you're not on it, it wasn't good.
One of the brutal things would be when you got taken off the list. Now, there was an incident here in this room where it's, I think, the middle of 94. We're going through a bit of a slump, and yourself and Paul have tried to come into the room. Team manager stopped you.
Keezy.
Yep. You are not on the list anymore.
He's brutal.
Goodbye. Now, we had, this room was split in half.
Yep.
We had the reserves in one room and the A grade in this room. And you guys had no choice. RZA came first. I remember Keezy stopped him and he said, but I've just got to get my stuff. And he said, no, get out, right. He wasn't even allowed to get his stuff out of the locker. So, right, bang. So he goes in next door.
Brutal.
Which in that room, there wasn't any lockers. There was only hooks to put your stuff on. So you've come in and casually done your Bendigo stroll and you've come in and boom. What's going on? Next door, you're out. Huh. You just,
Were you laughing at this stage?
Oh, I couldn't laugh because Jack's standing there and Jack is fuming about, obviously, the slump we're in.
Yeah.
So I couldn't laugh, but I was down like this in my head. I'm thinking, this is not good. You go next door. Then everybody sorted out. Right, we got there and there. Because the league list was around about 32. But they cut it back to the bone, about 28.
They just went, boom.
So you guys are next door.
Yeah.
And anyway, we're here. Oh, you're not happy. But Jack starts spraying us all and start going off on the restaurant. He's in the middle of this tirade, and all I can hear next door is you and RZA fighting. Do you know what you were fighting over?
It wasn't food, because there's no food. must have been the hook on the hooks or something.
Correct.
Yeah.
RZA said, nick off Fozzie. That's my hook.
That's right.
And you said, no, it's not, it's my hook. And he said, hey, I played 100 games on this hook. Well, how are we supposed to keep a straight face when we're in the room getting bagged by Jack for losing? No, mate, that was so funny.
Very funny, yeah. 100 games under this hook. Yeah.
That was just the beauty of, you know, Bomber says, enjoy your footy, have fun. Greg Phillips said, you've got to be able to do the balance of both.
That's right.
Did you blokes get the balance right?
It's questionable, Tim. We enjoyed our footy a lot.
You did.
But yeah, as you say, like, you have bad times and that, but you always enjoy coming to the club and being around your mates. So sometimes it wasn't working for you out in the oval. But when things come good, it'll come good. So, but you always enjoyed your time at the footy club. That's what I remember anyway, at this footy club.
Your second flag's the 1990 flag. Pretty important one.
Mm.
There was a lot of pressure on, wasn't there?
Exactly, yeah.
Obviously, we've made
the
bid.
Build up, yeah.
We've made the bid for the AFL. It's us versus the world, and it's on. The heat in that game and the ferociousness and the speed of it is quite, it's a great grand final. There's no doubt about that. You yourself, a bit of a smiling, you know, casual assassin. If you didn't, you know, you didn't pick a fight.
No.
You certainly ended a couple.
I did, yeah.
You didn't mind it. But your mate, he wasn't as good.
No, he was shocking.
With the Dukes, was he?
He's more of a wrestler.
Paul.
More of a wrestler, is he?
Jack used to say, stop wrestling. Stop wrestling. He said, but that's all I could do. But he was a terrible fighter for a guy that had such a big mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And didn't he lip off at the opposition?
Oh, he used to give it to him.
He did, didn't he?
He was the angriest bloke out there.
Yeah. Oh, Wayne Marnie was playing.
And you were there, I suppose.
Yeah. But he would lip off as if he was Muhammad Ali, wouldn't he?
Yeah, exactly. He was shocking out in the oval.
Tell us about what happened to him in that grand final.
I can't remember, Tim.
Was that Christy?
Yes.
Greg Christy?
Yeah, the big fella. He mouthed off at him and then Christy just went bang.
Ah, okay.
Just split him up.
Yeah, and Riz was trying to wrestle.
Yeah, he was trying to wrestle and you just started laughing.
Did I?
No support whatsoever.
No, we don't need support.
God, funny. But that was a great grand final, wasn't it? And to end, when that siren goes, isn't like, I know where I was standing, but how did you feel at that moment? Like,
yeah, well, we weren't expected to win, really, again. So, and the pressure was on, you know, everyone hated us, I guess. Yeah. And I think Jack had a bit of controversy leading up to the game, didn't he? Gave Glenelg a bit of a spray. Was that year or?
No, that was another year.
But definitely. Just to win the second grand final footy club, and we won in 89, which I wasn't a part of, but three in a row was fantastic. So, I haven't seen that one much, 1990, so I think you're going.
Now, your love's not just football. As we mentioned earlier, you loved your darts, you mind your darts.
Mm.
You love a cricket.
I'm a real cricket tragic, Tim.
You thought you were Jeff Thompson, didn't you?
Yeah.
You'd like to come in, you like to try and bowl like Jeff.
Yeah, love Tomo.
You love Tomo, didn't you?
Yeah.
Your friend, Paul Rozonico, he thought he was a cricketer as well.
Yeah. Apparently he played state.
Reckons he played state.
I don't know about that, Tim.
Yeah, well, he reckons he did. Yeah. I have to look up. I haven't seen any records. But the pair of you loved your cricket.
Yeah.
So much so that you... the landscaping, and this is why the landscaping plug came at the beginning.
Yep.
You were working as a groundsman at the Underdale College.
Yep. UniSA, yep.
And you used to have a yearly game called the Fozzie Memorial.
Yep.
Where you prepared a pitch.
Yes.
For our game.
That's right.
Every year.
And we used to play against the university workers.
Correct.
Versus the Port Adelaide footballers.
Correct.
The Port boys.
And it was just... And it was it was like a festival, wasn't it? It was like FOMO.
Yeah, it was great. Festival City.
It was incredible. We'd have barbecues.
Nets
all around the ground. Oh. Nets set up. You were unbelievable professional getting that pitch ready.
Oh, I loved it.
You know it. You did.
I loved it.
But the interesting thing, you and Rizzo would brag about how good you were, and David Brown and I decided let's have a State of Origin.
Yeah.
And it was South Australia versus Victoria.
Yep.
First game, backyard cricket, my house. South Australia win.
Dodgy pitch.
And you both disputed that...
There's no way.
It was doctored. You said doctored, so we won. And you said, both of us couldn't play, you know. So we go to your home ground, which you've prepared, you name it, and you lose again.
No, we didn't.
You lost again. You've never defeated David Brown at all.
Well, it's you on again. Poor as we're going to have another one.
We're going to go three times. Never forget it. Because I remember Rizzo coming in, he's throwing down heat, as he called it, swinging it everywhere, rah, rah. I'd close my eyes, I'd swing the bat, and he says, oh my God. And it was another six, of
you
course.
You and Brandon, the two worst cricketers I've ever seen.
But I know, and you used to
and
say
you beat
that.
Us.
And I beat us. And then I remember Rizzo saying, he bats like he's throwing a discus. Which I did. I just going over cow corner.
I mean, Rizzo could bowl. It's like Lillian Tomo.
You threw it down, but you know, you just weren't good enough.
He's blokes couldn't hit it.
It's embarrassing, though, that you lost twice to
us. It is embarrassing.
I'm glad we got this on camera.
It's on again.
Dear. It's on again.
Brady wouldn't be able to see it.
Now, mate, I have to ask you something. In 95, Greg Anderson comes back to the footy club. Greg Anderson, Gary Medals to the football club, right?
Mm.
And, you know, outstanding player. Comes back to the football club. He used to have number 26.
Mm.
Did anybody ask you to give that up or not?
No. Cool. I was a bit worried about it because I did like the 26. Yeah. But Ando, I think he ended up getting number 8. But there was never, no one ever sent him.
Yeah.
But I remember 95, so I didn't have much of a role in 95 Granny.
Did you play in three flags under 26?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Ando played in North. Well, at that stage.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was lucky to know you.
And he came off the ground for me.
Did he?
Yeah.
Unreal.
And he said to me on the bench, well, as he's going past, had to get a 26 out there, mate.
Oh, did he? Oh, beautiful. Great line. Oh, that's lovely. Ando, well done, mate.
Well done, Ando.
I'll give him a cheers for that. Well done. Now, yourself and Paul, you both came over. Were you coming over for a year?
Yes.
See what it's like?
Oh, it was anyway, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then sort of made him head back to the VFL, as it was known back then.
Because I was always a Carlton supporter growing up. Yeah. Loved the Blues, and but sort of didn't really enjoy being down there that much. So I was looking forward to Woolsey getting the sack and going back over there. But it took a couple of years later, but anyway. But he ended up loving me time here, so.
Yeah, so that was 88, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Why won't you go home?
you're still
here,
mate. It's
2020.
Well,
this is 32 years, you're still here.
I've got to be classified as a South Australian now.
Now, surely.
So I spent more time here than in Victoria, so.
Well, I'll tell you what you are. Is a Port Adelaide champion, my friend.
Thanks, mate.
And I have enjoyed your time in the Timmy G Tyre Power Time Machine. It's been exceptional, Richard.
It's been good to be here, mate. Yeah.
It's been good to be here. It's great to have you here, mate.
No worries,
Give us one of the COVID handshakes. Thank you very much,
mate.
And thank you very much, Richard Foster.